Mal and Hazel reached the vein of blue quartz after sprinting flat out for 5 minutes. She had separated herself from the others after getting through the back door of the tavern and ran north without looking back. She only slowed down long enough to whistle a command loudly, hoping Hazel would hear it. The bot did and caught up to her about halfway down the transit tunnel. The blue quartz had not been simple to find, but after commanding Hazel to turn on a spotlight that illuminated the area, she did find it. Mal pulled out the key Venus had given her and ran her hand down the face of the smooth quartz. She eventually discovered the tiny hole and inserted the metal rod. The entire vein of quartz pulled back and revealed a narrow cave just big enough for Mal to squeeze into. She walked inside, calling Hazel to her. As the bot entered, the quartz door closed. She turned to see that an iron plate had been bolted into the quartz to create the door. It must have been on a timer, or perhaps there were pressure plates under her feet that caused the door to close. Hazel's spotlight was still shining brightly, illuminating the cave as it stretched onward into darkness.
Come on, girl.
Mal and Hazel forged ahead, and she hoped she would get to Eagle's Nest before Carter. But her thoughts kept returning to Ace, and she wondered if he was still alive. 2 levels below and 1 kilometer to the south, Ace's hands were bound as he stood in front of Carter. Reyna and the sentry were behind Ace with both their weapons drawn.
Where is she?
I don't know.
He's lying.
Dirty orphan.
The sentry pointed his weapon at Ace, but Carter motioned for him to lower it.
Tell me where she is.
What do you need her for anyway? You know how to get to Eagle's Nest.
Tell me, and don't lie.
I'm not lying. I don't know where she is. And I don't care because I want to go to the surface too.
Carter stepped toward Ace and smiled. His teeth glinted in the light from his followers' headlamps.
You. You want to worship the sun?
I want to see the sun. I want to feel it.
Carter put his hand on Ace's cheek. Ace tried to recoil, but Reyna's hand was on his back, holding him in place.
Oh, dear boy. I want to feel it, too. Don't you see? We all do.
Carter turned to his followers.
We are close to our goal. We will breathe the air. We will feel our moon's warmth on our skin. We will be cleansed. And this bunker orphan will join us. We are the same, Ace. You are just like me and all my followers. The locks took away our freedom and our voice. They look down on us. But that is about to end. They didn't want us. But we will find our own home. Together!
The followers cheered, whipped into a frenzy by Carter's words.
Onward then! The sun awaits!
The followers shouldered their weapons, picked up the crate storing the bomb, and resumed their march to Eagle's Nest. Reyna stepped back from Ace, giving him some room, but not taking off his restraints. As they walked, Ace thought about Mal and hoped she and Hazel were okay. Maybe if they were able to reach Eagle's Nest, they could send help, and this would all be over. Back in the smuggler's cave, Mal arrived at a side tunnel. She stopped and chewed her lip as if she was thinking about something. After a moment, she turned to Hazel.
That tunnel leads back to the Sunderland route. Ace could be there with Carter.
Hazel sat and looked up at Mal. She continued as if Hazel was actually listening to her.
Okay, Eagle's Nest is just past that incline. We could be there in a few minutes.
Hazel sat motionless.
Or we could take the side tunnel and cut them off and try to save Ace. If he's still alive.
Hazel cocked her head and her ears perked up at the mention of Ace's name.
What should we do, Hazel?
Hazel stood and immediately ran down the side tunnel.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mal ran after Hazel.
Hey, wait for me!
Halfway through the Sunderland Passage, Carter and his flock were marching along at a steady pace. They walked in silence and had dimmed their headlamps. Though Ace's eyes were downcast as he trudged along, he was looking for gaps in the ranks of followers, looking for possible routes of escape, but there were none. He was flanked by the sentry on his right and Rain on his left, walking slightly behind him, tapping his back with her cattle prod if he slowed down too much. Ace looked back once and the sentry smiled back at him. His lip was still swollen and he had a black eye from Ace kneeing him in the face earlier. They walked a few more meters in silence, and as they reached a bend in the tunnel, the entire cave was filled with a bright white light. Carter and his followers had to shield their eyes. Raina strained to see beyond the bright spotlight. The group stopped and took defensive stances and readied their weapons. Ace cursed his luck. If his hands weren't tied behind his back, he could adjust the gain on his optics and have an advantage over the others. Carter stepped up to Raina.
What is it? A soldier?
I don't know.
The bright spotlight suddenly went out, and the cave went dark again. Raina turned her headlamp to full brightness. Now they could see the source of the alarm. It wasn't a platoon of Eagle's Nest elite warriors. It was Hazel, sitting on her haunches, aiming her spotlight at Carter and the followers behind him.
It's that bot, the one we put the riot collar on.
Ace tried to look past the followers standing in front of him, but he couldn't get a good look. His optics goggles were dimmed to compensate for the powerful spotlight shining in his direction. Carter took a few steps forward, confirmed it was Hazel with his eyes, then turned to his followers.
Go! Vaporize that thing and let's get moving.
Two followers charged forward at a run, weapons drawn and ready. Hazel waited a few seconds, then turned and ran as they got close. The followers could see the spotlight bouncing back and forth against the cave walls as Hazel tried to run away from them. They were slowly gaining, though, closing the distance on Hazel. Ace was still trying to see but couldn't make anything out. He pulled at his restraints but was unable to break free. Just as the two followers closed in on Hazel, she sprinted forward, then quickly turned around, her spotlight swinging to the front and blinding them. Carter saw the followers' headlamps suddenly flicker and then go out entirely. A scream rang out through the cave, a scream of terror and agony, and then a second scream soon after.
Lights! Everyone turn on their lights!
The followers turned on their headlamps to full brightness, but the cave in front of them appeared empty. There was no sign of Hazel or the two followers that had been chasing her.
Get ready. Someone's coming.
The followers all pulled out their weapons and formed a line in front of Carter. A shape slowly materialized out of the darkness. One of the followers stumbled back into view. The follower's robe was covered in gore and he was holding a bloody wound on his face. The follower was hunched over and breathing heavily. As he reached the others, he pitched forward and fell to the cave floor. The sentry knelt down next to the follower, who was not moving and appeared dead. Raina looked down at the sentry.
You! Stay here with the kid. I'm gonna check it out.
The sentry nodded. Raina left Ace's side and jogged ahead. Carter and the others stayed behind. Raina continued a few more meters, then stopped. She looked down at her feet. She motioned for Carter and the rest of the followers to approach. Carter and the others caught up with her. Raina was standing on the edge of a deep pit. As the followers arrived and pointed their headlamps down into the pit, they could see the other follower. There was movement in his robes.
Oh, he's alive. He's alive.
Get down there and help him.
But then they all looked on in horror as a Moloch spine tail, a slithering reptilian monster, crawled out from under his robe, and then another. As the headlamps moved back and forth across the bottom of the pit, there were dozens of spine tails of various sizes, writhing, twisting, feasting on the follower's corpse. One of the followers doubled over, heaving and vomited. Carter scanned the far side of the pit. It was nearly 10 meters across. The other side appeared empty.
We have to find a way around.
No! No! We keep going. Right through it.
Through that pit? It's not possible.
Carter looked back at his followers and selected two.
Get down there and kill those creatures of darkness!
The two followers nodded and had no hesitation before running forward and climbing down the walls of the pit. They stopped occasionally to fire their weapons at the spine tails. They took out two of them, but the spine tails swarmed up the side of the rock face and stung the followers numerous times. Both of them, stunned, muscles paralyzed, fell the remaining distance to the bottom of the pit, where they were overwhelmed by the mutant reptiles. Their screams were loud, but brief. Calmly, Carter motioned to Reyna. She turned to the next two followers in line.
Two more. Go!
The followers obeyed without hesitation. 50 meters back in the cave, the sentry was focused on the followers gathered around the pit. He didn't notice the bloody follower rise up. Ace took a step back in shock as the follower slowly pulled out his weapon. The sentry was looking forward and didn't see the follower get to his feet. Ace watched as the follower pulled back the hood of the robe. It was Mal. She wiped the blood away from her face and threw off the robe. She quickly slid the sentry's gun out of his holster. He was too slow to react, and by the time he had turned on Mal, she had him at gunpoint. With the sound of gunfire echoing in the cave and the Sun Cult focused on the spine-tail pit, nobody paid any attention to Ace, Mal, or the sentry.
Get on the ground. Face down.
The sentry complied, but slowly, never taking his eyes off of Mal. Once he was lying on his stomach, Mal reached toward the sentry's utility pouch and pulled out a knife. She moved behind Ace and cut his bonds. Ace rubbed his wrists to restore circulation, then adjusted the gain on his optics so he could see. Mal found more restraints in the utility pouch and quickly tied the sentry's hands, then used the knife to slice off a piece of the bloody robe and shoved it in the sentry's mouth. He protested, grunting loudly, but his cries were muffled by the gag.
Now what? How do we get past Carter and that pit?
Follow me. Hazel found another way around.
Ace was running after her before she stopped speaking. The sentry immediately started squirming, trying to get free. Mal led Ace to a series of rocks and crags that jutted out from the cave wall near the pit. They created a stairway of sorts that rose up near the ceiling of the cave. Ace followed Mal up the rock stairs, but they had to move carefully. Each step was treacherous. As they arrived at the apex of the rocks, there was an old steam pipe that jutted out from the rock wall and extended over the pit. Mal began to crawl, Ace right behind her. From their vantage point, they could see down into the pit. Several followers had climbed down and were slowly killing the spine tails. Two more followers had been injured or poisoned by the creatures, but they were wiping them out. The sentry got to his feet and went after Ace and Mal. He spit out his gag.
Look up! They're above you!
Mal could see Reyna in the pit, right in the midst of the fray, frying a spine tail with her cattle prod. After stomping on the lizard with her boot, she looked up and caught sight of Mal and Ace crawling along the pipe.
Get them!
A follower turned and fired off a wild shot. The plasma round impacted against the rocks, showering Ace and Mal with debris. Mal fired back, but also missed. The followers took cover and returned fire sporadically.
Hold your fire! Stop shooting! We need her alive! Climb up there and cut them off!
The followers stopped shooting at Ace and Mal, concentrating on the spine tails. A few of the followers broke off and tried to scale the steep sides of the pit, but the walls were slick and it was difficult to climb. Mal turned back to Ace and held out the sentry's gun. He reached for it, but it was too far away. Mal tossed it to him, but Ace fumbled it and the gun fell into the pit. As Ace looked back, he could see the sentry had freed his hands and was crawling after them on the pipe. Mal and Ace stayed low and shimmied along the surface of the pipe. There, only a couple of meters away from the other side of the pit, was a sloping ledge that would take them back down to the tunnel floor. They kept moving until they were finally past the pit, and the followers could no longer see them. But the sentry was still coming. Once Ace and Mal were both on the rock ledge, Mal placed the barrel of her gun against the pipe and fired the rest of her ammunition. causing the pipe to crack. The pipe groaned and shifted as the sentry put his arms around it, trying to hold on. One final shot from Mal's gun cleaved the pipe in half, and it dropped down at a steep angle. The sentry had no chance. He slid off the end and plummeted 30 meters down into the pit, screaming as he fell, knocking two followers off the side of the pit as they were climbing, and landing with a dull thud that silenced him. Ace and Mal hustled down the ledge, not looking back, and ran down the tunnel at a full sprint. Once they turned the corner, Hazel was there, waiting for them. There was no time for a reunion as the three of them ran back to the smuggler's passage. Sure that Carter and his followers were still traversing the pit, they slowed to a walk as they came to the gradual sloping incline that would take them to the secret door into Eagle's Nest. They continued in silence for a while. The incline got steeper and narrowed until they had to walk single file. Mal walked in front for a few meters, then stopped.
Small problem.
What?
Mal stepped aside and let Hazel pass. Her spotlight turned on and illuminated a pile of rocks and rubble up ahead, piled a meter high. Beyond the cave-in, they could see the rounded edge of a metal door.
Gonna have to dig our way in.
Mal used the follower's gun to dig through the rocks and gravel. She handed the larger rocks back to Ace, who rolled them down the passageway behind him. Slowly, they made progress, moving closer and closer to the door as they cleared the rubble. You came back for me.
Yeah. It was Hazel's idea.
Maybe, but you could have been killed.
I couldn't let them hurt you. Not after what you've done for me.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, why did they keep you alive?
I told them I wanted to see the sun, and he said I could go with them.
Yeah. That's what he does. Makes you feel like you belong, like he cares. He's a liar, Ace. Don't forget that.
Ace thought about replying, but he kept silent. They finally moved enough debris to create a space around the door. It was circular in shape and not very big. There was no lock, just a simple rusty spin wheel in the center of the door that would pull back the pins that kept the door shut. Mal tried to turn the wheel, but it was stuck, rusted in place over time. Ace shuffled forward and put his hands on the wheel to help her, but it still didn't move. Without being commanded, Hazel moved between them and clamped down on the side of the wheel with her jaws and dug her claws into the rock, pulling at the door with a violent, jerking motion.
What if you're wrong? About Carter?
Ace! He doesn't even want to go to the surface. He wants to take over. If he gets to Eagle's Nest, there won't be anybody to stop him.
But he wasn't talking about taking over. He said he wants to find a new home. And I do too.
I told you. He tells you what you want to hear and he gets inside your head. Do not make the same mistake I did.
Ace used all of his strength to pull on the wheel, and it turned a fraction, the gears grinding, rusted metal falling away. With the three of them working in tandem, they were able to turn the wheel, and soon it spun freely. Three revolutions of the wheel, and they could hear the pins slip free and the door cracked open. Mal pulled the door back and crawled through the opening. Ace waited until she was through and followed her. They found themselves crouching in a dark, confined space. As Hazel entered, her spotlight illuminated the area and they could tell they were in some kind of electrical cabinet. There were wires and relay switches everywhere. They crawled forward until they were able to stand. Mal placed her hands on a thin metal door and pushed it open. Mal, Ace, and Hazel stepped out of the electrical cabinet into a huge open area. Ace looked around. They were in a massive hangar bay. Everywhere he looked, he saw sleek vehicles, aircraft, mech warriors, land vehicles bristling with weapons, all instruments of war. Deke had told him stories of the technological terrors housed in Eagle's Nest and how they made the ground shake when they fired their weapons or dropped bombs, but this was the first time Ace had ever seen them for himself. Ace wondered about the war. Deke didn't like to talk about his brief stint in Eagle's Nest as a support tech, but he had seen bloodshed and carnage. All of this technology was built to kill other humans. But these war machines also made Ace feel a sense of hope. Once, these machines roamed all over the surface, and now they served as a reminder that Ace was closer to his goal than ever before. There didn't seem to be anyone in the hangar bay at first, but then Ace spotted someone moving out from underneath one of the big land vehicles. He wore dirty overalls covered in oil stains. He seemed to be a mechanic, and he held a long metal wrench at his side. He moved away from the vehicle he was working on and stared at them in wide-eyed confusion. Mal cut him off before he said a word.
Praise Amun.
Mal looked at him, waiting for his response. The mechanic's eyes stared at Mal blankly.
What?
Never mind. Go find the watch supervisor. Tell him to get Commander Locke down here immediately.
The mechanic squinted at her, as if he might have recognized her. Mal raised her voice, trying to sound authoritative but not panicky.
Eagle's Nest is under attack. Go find my mother. Greta Locke.
The mechanic dropped the wrench he had been holding, nodded quickly, and ran off to find Mal's mother. Ace moved further into the hangar bay, looking around in wonder at the war machines. Some of them were huge, towering above him, but they all looked dormant, like they hadn't been used in a long, long time.
Pretty impressive, right?
Ace stopped in front of a humanoid-shaped mech shell. It was easily 15 meters tall. Ace touched the steel armor protecting one of the legs of the machine.
Is this a bot?
No. Human driver. It's called the Colossus.
Have you ever seen one of these in action?
Nope. Before my time. It's been 20 years since the last battle on the surface.
Ace nodded and continued to scan the hangar. On the far wall, there was a cylindrical tube that stretched from floor to ceiling. At the base, there were hydraulic pressure doors and a bank of controls.
Is that it?
Mal followed his gaze.
Yep. That lifter takes you to the ready deck on level one. It's known as the Surface Express on our media channels, but everyone around here calls it the hearse.
What does that mean?
People go up the lift alive, but come back down dead. Or dying.
You were never curious about what's up there?
I've seen VCOM data images. It's a wasteland. Nothing grows. The air's no good. You can hardly see.
Well, if you knew all that, why did you believe Carter?
Ace turned to look at Mal.
I don't know. I guess the same reason you want to believe that there's a place where things are different. Better. I thought that he was going to help me open everyone's eyes.
You're not answering my question.
Look, my whole life has been structured. Every moment is planned out. People tell me what to do, and I do it without question. But when I met Carter, he made me feel different. He made me feel like I was part of something bigger, and there was hope that I could change things. That's why I believed him. He could have been a great leader.
Maybe he still could.
Before Mal could reply, they heard a door open and loud boots echoing on the steel deck. Three people appeared amongst the war machines and marched quickly towards Ace and Mal. There were two soldiers in full armor carrying rifles. Ace noticed that their armor was much more intricate than a sentry's armor. Their weapons looked more powerful, too. Both of the soldiers were trailing Greta Locke, who was wearing a uniform with a cape thrown over one shoulder. Ribbons and medals adorned her military jacket. She locked onto Mal and looked angry as she approached them. Greta stopped a few meters away in front of a large pressure door.
Mother, Mother, I made a mistake.
Just as Greta opened her mouth to speak, a massive blast rocked the hangar bay. A shockwave slammed into Greta and her bodyguards, lifting them up and sending them sprawling through the air. A second explosion buckled the giant pressure door and knocked it off its iron hinges. The door clanged to the ground, putting a huge dent in the deck. Smoke billowed inside the hangar, and then Ace could see shapes moving through the door. Carter and Reyna appeared through the smoke, followed by the others. Carter locked eyes with Mal, and a wide smile appeared on his face.
Subterra, written and produced by Steve Krueger and Warren Davis. Performed by
Marty Yu,
Cece Boyce,
Tamara Pennington,
Doug Perkins,
and
Kyle Bornheimer.